We want to turn now to some of the potential winners in the president's budget plan, the industries in Massachusetts that could see an increase in federal funding. Joining us from Arlington, Virginia is Lauren Thompson, Chief Operating Officer and Defense and Security Analyst at the Lexington Institute, which is a conservative think tank. Lauren, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Deb.
So let's start with this increase in defense for the Defense Department. The proposed budget gives about an increase of 9% in discretionary funding to the DOD. Where might that go, do you think?
Well, there is a plan that was laid out by Secretary of Defense James Mattis on January 31st that called for what he called a three-phase campaign plan. In 2017, it would go to increasing readiness, items like training and maintenance. In 2018, it would address what they call pressing shortfalls. And then for the rest of the Trump tenure, it would be about increasing the lethality of the joint force by adding weapons.
So I want to get to specifically Massachusetts, because we have a number of defense contractors here. Raytheon, which in 2013, I think, received one-third of the federal defense contracts statewide. If this budget is passed, what might be the effect on industries like Raytheon?
This would be a very good budget for almost anybody who is a defense contractor, and Raytheon is one of the biggest. Basically, what happens here is that defense spending is increased by $1 billion a week compared with 2017.
A week?
A week, yes. $52 billion total increase to the Department of Defense above what is the current level of spending. So it's $1 billion increase per week. Now, not all of that goes to weapons, probably less than 50%, but a significant amount is set aside for new weapons. To take one example, they want to buy more jets for the Navy. The engines for those jets are made at the General Electric Engine Plant in Lynn. Mm. They want to buy more tactical communication systems for the Army. The main tactical communication system is made by General Dynamics in Taunton. And then there's Raytheon, which has radars and electronics and munitions on almost every major combat system in the U.S. military.
So it would be a big, it could potentially be a big boost for Massachusetts.
Well, that's right. It would be particularly appreciated at Raytheon because its products are so broadly spread across the portfolio of combat systems that almost anything that goes up is going to bring new money to Raytheon. Some of the bigger companies, they're focused on a handful of signature combat systems, but Raytheon is on almost everything.
You know, there were also other increases, some to the Department of Homeland Security, 7% increase for Homeland Security. Much of that would go for border security and things not directly impacted in Massachusetts. But I'm just wondering, what do you think we might see from some of those increases?
Well, a lot of that is to deliver on President Trump's commitments to tighten up southern border security and to enhance, or if you will, accelerate the removal of illegal immigrants. I think Massachusetts would be a net loser there. The reason being that some of the money within the Department of Homeland Security budget for doing things like the Southern Wall would come out of places like the Coast Guard and the Transportation Security Administration. There isn't much of an increase here for cyberspace, for cybersecurity either. And Massachusetts, not just Raytheon, but the local universities are hotbeds of research on cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm. So we would lose.
I think you'd be a net loser. But let's put this in perspective. The Department of Homeland Security only gets a budget in the Trump plan of $44 billion for the whole year. That's not even as big as the increase that the Pentagon gets.
Any other areas where you think Massachusetts might come out on top here?
You know, Massachusetts doesn't have very many military bases, and this is basically a national security budget. Everything else is cut in order to fund defense. So to the extent that it has a hand in defense spending. It will gain to the extent it has a hand in almost anything else in the federal portfolio of responsibilities. It will lose.
Now, this increase has to go through some hoops, obviously, and we've talked with all of our other guests about that, and they're approaching this rather cautiously, saying, well, we're going to wait and see. We're concerned, but we're going to wait and see. I'm just wondering, can you explain a little bit about that process of where the budget goes from here and what folks might expect?
Well, in any budget year, there are a number of hurdles that have to be overcome before a budget becomes law. But this year is special because what President Trump is proposing is to raise defense spending 52 or 54, if you count everything, billion dollars above what the law allows. Congress passed a law in 2011 that capped defense spending. And the president wants to get rid of that law. However, he hasn't offered Democrats in the Senate any incentive for doing it. They need at least 8 Democrats in the Senate to get the 60-vote supermajority necessary to remove those caps. So what's the bottom line? A lot of people on Capitol Hill say this budget is dead on arrival.
Because he won't. He definitely won't. Could he get rid of the law and then do it?
In order to get rid of the law, if there's any major legislation in the Senate, you must have 60 votes, and the Republicans only have 52 senators. So I would say unless he changes his whole approach to stating priorities, he can't get the budget caps removed, and therefore it'd be very difficult to get his defense priorities funded.
Okay. Lauren Thompson, Chief Operating Officer and Defense and Security Analyst at the Lexington Institute, a conservative think tank based in Virginia. Thanks so much for coming on Radio Boston today.
Thank you, Deb.
Stay with us. Coming up, we hear from a Massachusetts doctor about his experience treating Ebola in Liberia. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.